Sefer, the masterful work of Silas Yesharim. He writes, "Achibur hazeh lo chibartiv lelamed le'adam es asher le'yadim." I'm not writing the Mesilas Yesharim to tell people anything that they do not yet know. Ela la'azkirim es hayadu alehem kvar u'mepursam es lo pirsam gadol. The point of writing the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim was just to review those things which all of us know by rote, those things which all of us know by nature. Ela shekafi rote persuma. Because they are so well known, because everybody knows about these issues that are going to be discussed in the Mesilas Yesharim, u'kineged ma shamitasim guluya lakol, since everybody knows that they are truthful. Kach ha'ela mehem matzei ma'od v'hashik harav. Much of what we are going to discuss now is obviously well known, but sometimes that which is most familiar to us also is the type of thing that's most neglected. Tisha B'Av is obviously a time which is an opportunity for us to mourn over Churban HaKlal and Churban HaPrat. And I think sometimes over at Tisha B'Av, we don't spend enough time thinking about the Churban HaKlal of Eretz Yisrael. We speak about many other things. We speak about a lot of tragedies that befall the Jewish people in many different ways. But we shouldn't forget what the real day is about. Tisha B'Av is a collective day of mourning to think about everything, but obviously, in the ultimate sense, Tisha B'Av is supposed to be the time to think about Eretz Yisrael. One of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer, Moshe Hamburger, he was one of the famous Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer, so he writes that one year, he decided to have a little Azaz Panim, to have a little bit of chutzpah with his Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer, and he says, Pam be'erev Tisha B'Av, Achare HaTzarayim, one year, Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, he went to see his bodhid at Chassam Sofer B'Chadro. The Chassam Sofer went to go and take some private time in his own room. He didn't want to be with his Talmidim, he wanted to take some time alone. Hayisi Sakron Yod, Rav Moshe Hamburger writes, I was very curious, I was very interested to know, what is my Rebbe the Chassam Sofer doing now? Lada Sivas is bodhid to do so. What exactly could the Chassam Sofer be doing at a time Erev Tisha B'Av? He's not really allowed to learn so many things. He can't really be answering people's shaylos. He's not allowed to write tshuvas now. So what's that some server doing? Obviously, that some server is not really learning. He's not working on a tshuva. Lavuchiber tshuvas l'shalim. So Moshe Hamburger, perhaps inappropriately, he'azdi pane b'rabi. I decided to be a little bit chutzpahed. I acted a little bit out of line. And I peeked in through the keyhole to see what the Chassam Sofer, what my Rebbe was doing on Erev Tisha B'Av. Let me describe, says Rav Moshe Hamburger, what kind of sight I saw in that keyhole when I saw the Chassam Sofer doing on Erev Tisha B'Av. Isha Elokim Yoshev Mekonen Al Churban HaBayis. The Chassam Sofer, who he describes his Rebbe as the Isha Elokim, is like a Malach Hashem Tzevakos, who is sitting and crying about the Churban HaBayis, Ayyado, Munach Sefer. In one hand, he had some Sefer that he was reading, and in the other hand, the Chassam Sofer was holding a cup and letting his tears fall into that cup until it got to a point, says Rav Moshe Hamburger, that his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer's cup, was completely filled with his tears. When the Chassam Sofer sat down, Erev Tisha B'Av, to eat the Suda HaMavsekes, Logam Mikos HaDemos, he sat and he drank down his food with this cup of tears that he cried. V'kayim HaShanemar, Na'achaltam Lechem Dima, Batashkemo V'Demos Shalosh. That's the way that some Sofer HaKadosh went into the experience of Tisha B'Av. This is the feeling that some Sofer had when he prepared himself for a Tisha B'Av. Mekonin al Yushalayim, he sat in his office and he held a Sefer thinking about Eretz Yisrael, understanding what the loss actually was, what the tragedy was, and he drank those tears. He drank those tears down with the Suda HaMavsekes. It's interesting, I don't think there's anybody in the history of the Jewish people that we can imagine had a greater spiritual experience than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Lokam Yisrael k'Moshe Od. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu was the apex. He was the pinnacle of anyone's existence you can ever have, you can ever imagine. He was the height of anyone's experience that we would ever want to have. And yet the Gemara tells us an incredible story about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says himself in the end of the Masechta, that Asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Sudin LaTzadikim, there's going to come a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Lavo is going to make a Suda LaTzadikim. He's going to invite all of the Tzadikim in to come and join him in a meal. And the Gemara says they're going to be faced with an issue. You have all the Gedolim from all the generations. Imagine, you have Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have the Chassam Sofer, you have the Vilna Gaon, you have Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, you have everybody coming together. You have the Rashba, the Ritra, everybody. The Mechaber, the Ramah. Imagine, such a meal. Well, now we have a problem. After we get through such a wonderful time enjoying the meal with the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's going to bench? Who's going to bench? Each one is more chashuv than the next. Each one is more important than the next. Each one is more prominent than the next. So who are we going to invite? Who are we going to be mechabe to lead the benching, to lead the mezuzah? Says the Gemara, all eyes on Moshe Rabbeinu. Who else are we going to choose? When we have a room filled with gedolim like this, who can be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Gemara, la'achos ha'ochlam, neshosim noslo kosho bracha. So everyone turns to Moshe Rabbeinu. Naturally, he's the one that we should invite to lead the Berachas HaMazon. We should be mechabed him more so than everybody else. And omrim lo, Moshe, Tolo Baruch, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have the covet of benching, of leading this incredible meal. You should close it up, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're greater than all of us put together. Omer Lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Yes, I reached the height of anyone's experience in life that you can ever ask for. Yes, I worked on myself when I became the great leader of the Jewish people. I became Moshe Rabbeinu. However, I in some way see myself as being deficient. There's something missing in my life, says Moshe Rabbeinu. He's describing himself. And he's describing why he feels that he is not worthy of benching at this incredible meal that's hosted by none other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ani lo avarik. I cannot bench, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Lefi shelo zachisi lehikanes la'aretz Yisrael. Yes, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, I accomplished incredible things in my life. But you know what's missing? You know why I'm not worthy of benching at this meal which is hosted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and has all the tzaddikim from all the generations? Because I never had the chance to enter Eretz Yisrael, not while I was alive, and not after death either. An incredible insight. There was one of the tzaddikim in the last generation who pointed out an incredible idea. Pretty obvious when you hear it, but it's nice that he pointed it out for us. If you look, the first conversation that's ever had between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, the first Jew was Avraham Avinu. He was the first one who believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look, the first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever had with Avraham Avinu, our beginning of our existence was what? All about Eretz Yisrael. Lech lecha me'aretz lecha mimoladetecha el ha'aretz asher erech. The first time the Ribbono Shel Olam communicates with the Jewish people is about Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, you go later in history to Yitzchak Avinu, the second of the Avos. And what's the first time that we have a recorded conversation in the Torah between Yitzchak Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Once again, about Eretz Yisrael, what are we told? Al Terem Mitzrayma. There's a famine. Yitzchak Avinu wants to leave Eretz Yisrael. Naturally, that's what his father did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, Machalom, and he says, Al Terem Mitzrayma. No, no, no. Shchon Ba'aretz says, I want you to stay here in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the first time any sort of communication happens between Avraham Avinu, between Yitzchak Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all about Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't stop there. You go to Yaakov Avinu. What was the first communication that Yaakov Avinu, the third of the Avos, has? What is the first communication that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Once again, it's about Eretz Yisrael. Vayivka b'amakam v'yalan sham. Yaakov Avinu falls asleep and he has a dream, as we know. Hine Hashem mitzavalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing over Yaakov Avinu and he's communicating with him. And he comes to him in a dream and he says, don't worry. There's going to come a time. I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Your children will return. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, their first conversations, their opening to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is surrounded by this idea of understanding how central a role Eretz Yisrael has to play in our lives. Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon HaNaviim, his first encounter with the Shekhinah by the Sneh. And believe it or not, what is the conversation that's had between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The same thing. Ra'o Ra'isi. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes, yes, I want you to know that I see as Ami Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. I want you to understand that I know what's happening in Mitzrayim. I'm watching out for the Jewish people. I know how much they're suffering. However, La'alosa la'aretz ani el eretz zelbas chalav v'dvash al makam ha'kani. Be assured, I'm going to bring all Israel out from this bitter exile, and we will end up ultimately in Eretz Israel. El Eretz Zavas Chalav V'Dvash. And finally, Yehoshua ben Nun, the next leader after Moshe Rabbeinu. What is his first conversation? Tabiyachal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with him. Moshe Avni Meis, you're going to take over. Moshe Rabbeinu is not able to lead the Jewish people any longer. Ba'ata, what is your job? What a striking comment to realize that every single one of the leaders of the Jewish people in the pages of Chumash, every last one of them has their first encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all about Eretz Yisrael. You understand the centrality. You see how much this is supposed to be the focal point of everything we think about. That Eretz Yisrael is not just a side issue. Eretz Yisrael is what we're supposed to be concentrating on. It's what we're supposed to think about all the time. It's what all the others had relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. It's what Moshe Rabbeinu feels made him deficient. Moshe Rabbeinu got to every madrega in his life, but he was deficient in his own eyes because he didn't have a chance to go to Eretz Yisrael. You see the prominence that Eretz Yisrael plays in the story of Klal Yisrael. The Sefer Haredim lived in the 1500s, the same time as the Beis Yosef, same time as the Shlomo Alkevitz, and Reb Chaim Vital. Sefer Haredim, when he speaks about Eretz Yisrael, he talks a little bit about his frustration. Why is it that people don't care? Why is it that people don't think about it? Why is it that it's not on the height of our consciousness, says the Sefer Haredim. Tzarech kol ish Yisrael. He's giving us a mandate. He's explaining to us what we're supposed to be feeling, how we're supposed to be thinking. Tzarech kol ish Yisrael l'chave v'es Eretz Yisrael. We have to show and express a love for Eretz Yisrael. V'lavu alea me'afse Eretz. And we have to come and visit from all different corners of the earth, from all places where we inhabit. B'tshuka gedola. With a desire, with an aspiration, with an eagerness, with a fascination that we want to get to know what Eretz Yisrael is all about. That, says the Sefer Haredim, is our charge. Kiven el cheik imo. It's as if when you have a young child who's lost in a department store, can't find the mother, and all of a sudden they're reunited. Can you imagine the emotion? The mother was nervous, anxious. The child thinks he's lost his mother. They'll never find each other again, yet they finally embrace. And that explains the Sefer Haredim as the feeling, the deep feeling, the sensitivity that we're supposed to have, the longing, the fascination with Eretz Yisrael. The beginning of this whole story, what got us into this mess in the first place, Yan Ma'asnuba, Vayimasuv Eretz Chemda. It's because Klal Yisrael felt ill will toward Eretz Yisrael. Because when the Meraglim came back and gave the report that they did, we fell for it. And says the Sefer Haredim, Bupinyo Nafsho Mehera Yiyin. If we somehow figure out how to undo that mistake of Vayimasuv Eretz Chemda, to show a lack of interest, that was our problem then Bipidyon Nafsho Mehera Yivana. That is the way that we will somehow retroactively bring back Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Simcha Dar Sameach was once asked to write a Haskamah. He used to write Haskamahs for many different Svarim. So somebody once inquired with the mayor Simcha, and they asked him that they wanted to write a haskama on a sefer called Shivas Tzion. There was a yid in Europe, in Dvinsk, who wrote a sefer all about returning to Eretz Yisrael, who wrote all about how we're supposed to feel. And he comes to Rav Meir Simcha and he asks him, well, you write haskamas for everybody else. Would you mind writing haskama? I want people to buy my sefer. If it doesn't have haskama from the road, from Rav Meir Simcha, who's going to buy it? So Rav Meir Simcha wrote to him as follows. Such a fascinating letter. He says, Hinei da yakiri. Yes, my friend, we are good friends, we know each other, and really, I obviously should write a haskama. I really have what to say about you. What do you want me to write in your haskama? That people should buy the book about Eretz Yisrael? That people should buy your sefer Shivas Tzion? Is there anyone who's not sure about it? Is there anyone, says Rav Meir Simcha from Dvinsk, is there anybody who would pass the sefer called Shivas Tzion in the bookstore and not actually buy it? Because they're not sure whether this is an idea that we should be thinking about? Kimihu ha'ish ha'Yisraeli. Which Jewish soul will you find? Asher Yistapek, was it? Who is there out there that isn't sure about this idea? Halomiyom kira Hashem letzur machatzavteinu. From the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself and had a relationship with us, Hiftiach lo be'eretz chemda, He promised us that we are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu. This is what we asked for. This is what we down for. This is what He promised us. This is what He's going to come through for. B'shalosh matanos nidnu li'Yisrael. We know that the Gemara says there were three matanos that were given to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara brachos daf hey. Torah of Eretz Yisrael v'olam haba kulam ke'echa. They were all given at once. As central as the Torah is, Eretz Yisrael is the same. There's so many points in Chumash where we discuss Eretz Yisrael and we say that that is the ultimate experience. We know that the Torah is filled. If you follow the mitzvahs of Torah, I'll give you back Eretz Yisrael. If you don't, you'll be thrown out, you'll be spit out by the land. The Torah itself goes into such great detail, describing and outlining this Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Vishaklu Rabbi Seinu Maila Sefer Yoshua says or Meir Simcha, it gets to a point that Sefer Yoshua is considered Maila Satara. Even though Sefer Yoshua is really part of Navi, it's part of Nav, yet Chazal tell us in Adar Dachav Beis that we consider Sefer Yoshua to be a quasi status of Torah. Why is that? Shuhu Erecha Shel Eretz Yisrael. Because Sefer Yoshua is all about the description of how beloved, of how cherished Eretz Yisrael is. Says Rav Meir Simcha, all I would want is to have the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael and just live there one day. That's all I wish for, says Rav Meir Simcha. And why should I write a haskama on a sefer that so obviously will sell itself? That anyone who sees a sefer entitled Shivas Tzion cannot walk by it. It's just so obvious. It's such a part of our lives. It's supposed to be. There was a time in the days of the Aruch HaShulchan when there was a shortage in Esrogim, and Esrogim were a little bit more expensive if you bought them from Eretz Yisrael. So the community at that time chose to buy Esrogim from the local market. They didn't want to buy. They didn't want to take from Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to choose the ones that were local, that were a little bit cheaper. So the Stechemed, who wrote many correspondences with many tzaddikim, many gedolim of his generation, the Stechemed writes that he was very infuriated by this happening. He was upset that people were choosing not to buy the Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. And he went into a correspondence with the Aruch HaShulchan about the phenomenon that people are no longer buying the Esrogim, the payers of Eretz Yisrael. Listen to what he says. Hanachol le'isha Yisraeli. He says the proper perspective that we're supposed to have, that a yid is supposed to have, levaker, to prefer, to promote, to select, pri yartzeinu hakdosha al pri eretz amin. To be sensitive to the fact that we're supposed to promote even the fruits, the payers of eretz amin, of Eretz Yisrael, over the payers of eretz amin. And then he goes on to a scathing attack. The Aruch HaShulchan writes to his friend, the Shtechemed, Ayei kevodo yisbarach. Where is our respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself? Ayei kavod haTorah HaKadosha. Where is our respect for the Torah itself? How can we neglect the Paris Eretz Yisrael? Ayei kavod Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is our respect for Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who begged Evron of the Eretz, all I want is to see Eretz Yisrael, to have the Paris Eretz Yisrael. Shevetzukim Rabbein Nishtamcha V'shimcha Shel Eretz Yisrael. Where is our respect? How dare we neglect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love? How dare we neglect the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted this and wished for it his whole life? Ilu HaNashim Meganderim Ba'afro the Eretz Acheres. And instead we insult and we defamate the land of Eretz Yisrael because we're busy rolling around in Eretz Amim Acherim. U'menashkim Peruseim. We're busy going ahead and kissing the ground, kissing the fruits of Eretz Amim. Vayashlichu Periya V'tovah Shel Eretz HaKadosha Kekli Ein Bo Chefetz. And we have cast away, we have thrown aside the incredible blessing that we have of the Paris Eretz Yisrael. There's a frightening statement that's made by Rabbi Yudah HaChassid in the Sefer HaChassidim, in which he describes, how is it possible, if the Ribbono Shel Olam loved the Beis HaMikdash so much, how is it possible that he allowed it to be destroyed? Obvious question. We should probably think about it once over today. How could it be? How could the Ribbono Shel Olam allow this to happen? Is there no Hashras Hashina? Does he not understand what's happening under his own watch, Kaviyachol? Says the Sefer Hasidim, you want to know what right Titus had, what right all the Ummah Salam had to come and destroy and defamate the Beis HaMikdash? You want to know what it was about? What gave them the license to go ahead and start up and defile the Beis HaMikdash? It wasn't until they saw that we lacked appreciation. We as Klal Yisrael lacked an appreciation, lacked a love for everything that was happening in the Beis HaMikdash and in Eretz Yisrael. And only then did they have the license to go ahead and carry out what we began. La'olam lo yasu ha'arei l'mra. Says the Sefer Hasidim, there is no such thing in the world as an enemy coming and doing something to us. Elim ken yasu t'chila Yisrael ra be'neim zelazeh. There is no way that an enemy can come and start up with us in a certain particular manner if we didn't somehow have the beginning phases, the beginning stages of that particular issue already creeping up in our own community. There, Mevazel Tamid HaChachamim, says the Sefer Hasidim, it's because we are Mevazel Tamid HaChachamim. It's because when we see Tamid HaChachamim, we don't stand up for them. It's because we don't respect them. It's because we think we know better than them. It's because we don't care, says the Sefer Hasidim, to show how much we adore and we love the ground that they walk on. And that, he says, is why there's a license to the Ummah Sa'alam to destroy our Talmidei Chachamim, to wipe out our Tzaddikim. We want to know why we have so many Kedoshim that are being killed. Says the Sefer Hasidim, he gives us the answer. Because there's nothing that the Ummah Sa'alam can do to us if the problem didn't first begin in our own community, in our own society. It's an insular issue that just somehow mushrooms into something much greater than anything we imagine. So we ask ourselves on a Tisha B'Av, how could it be if we have so many Mekoros and Chazal, if we have Gedolim throughout all the generations who tell us how central, how vital Eretz Yisrael is meant to be in our lives, how could it be that we neglect this Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava, as we say in Berachas HaMazon? How can that be? How is it possible? How do we forget about it? Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu, how many times do we say with the Yushalayim Ircha? How many times do we say as Tzemach David? What are we saying? How can it be that we neglect all of this? Moshe Rabbeinu asked for this. He feels he's deficient. Avoseinu Akdoshim Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov, Moshe and Yehoshua, all of them have conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all about Eretz Yisrael, the centrality. How is it possible that we in our generation have neglected, have not thought enough have not cared enough about the great gift of Eretz Yisrael. And I believe the answer in part is because, fortunately or unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael has become so taken for granted, it's become so assumed to us, that it's a part of our life. It got to a point where it's already unceremonious. It's not so exciting. We're used to this. Because we have it. Rabbi Simcha writes, if I only had one day in my life to live in Eretz Yisrael, what I would give up for that one day in my life. Moshe Rabbeinu, if I only had one chance to go into Eretz Yisrael, I would be the perfect and complete human being that the world has ever had. But he didn't. And neither did Rameir Simcha. The Pesukim tell us, V'hayoki v'yata Hashem alokecha l'eretz haknani, kasher nishba lecha v'la'avosecha u'nesan alach. And the Medrash writes in that pasuk a famous comment that many have said over, u'nesan alach, and he will give it to you, says the Medrash, shelo tehe ve'enecha ki yirushas avos. Don't mistakenly think that the experience of Eretz Yisrael is something which is a birthright, that it's an endowment, something, an inheritance that's given down to you from your parents, from your grandparents. You have to look, your perspective on Eretz Yisrael has to be as if this is the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to Klal Yisrael. Today! This is my first time. Hayom, Unisan Allah, I am giving it to you today. It's not something you have ever experienced before. It's not something your parents or grandparents gave you. It's something that you are experiencing today in the Son Allah. Can we even imagine? Can you envision? I wasn't born in 1948, but imagine the generation after the Holocaust going into Eretz Yisrael for the first time. It's impossible to imagine the feelings, the heritage that a person would have. 1967, imagine the feelings that people had the first time they walked into the old city of Yerushalayim. Imagine. We don't think about it now, because we've been there so many times, because we've seen it, because we've become used to it, because we think it's a Yerushas Avos, because we think it's something that has been passed down to us. We think we're entitled. Imagine the first time people walked into the Maris HaMachpelah, after thousands of years of the Maris HaMachpelah being in disrepair, being in ruins. Imagine the feeling, imagine the excitement, imagine the overwhelming sincerity. Imagine the humility we would have if only we had that chance to be there for the first time. And perhaps this is the reason why on Tisha B'Av, the laying we just read, is the solid banim of nebanim v'no shavtem. Because that's our problem. We get used to things. We're complacent. And part of our complacency is with regard to Eretz Yisrael as well. We don't appreciate. We get used to the shigrat. We get used to the complacency, to the attitude that it's always going to be here and it always was here. So what's the big deal? Why should I get so excited? I've seen it before. I visited there. What's the big deal? I'll go whenever I want. I have enough money. I can get there. This is why perhaps we lay in Vino Shanta. Because that's part of our problem. That we forget that it's supposed to be Hayom, Nisunala. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives it to us in our generation as an absolute matam. The Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, as we know, the Vilna Gaon wanted to have an onslaught of people who were going to move to Eretz Yisrael. And there were some Talmidim who went, some Talmidim who unfortunately were not able to go. The Vilna Gaon himself, it's not clear why, but the Vilna Gaon himself was not able to go. And the Talmidim who were fortunate enough to go, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Mishlov, Rabbi Yisrael Mishlov, many of the great Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, big Mekubalim, went to Eretz Yisrael. And they sent back a letter to the Talmidim who were left behind. Back with the Vilna Gaon, obviously they had the chance to learn with the Rebbe, but still they didn't have the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they went to describe what the experience is like for them living in Eretz Yisrael. And they wrote as follows. The letter was reprinted recently, and they say, Ha'aretz mivaseres. This land, Eretz Yisrael, whispers and communicates to us somehow. Ha'aretz misoreres. This land somehow awakens and revives our spirit inside our neshama. Eretz Malashon Omeres. And they go on to a description. So this is what we feel. But they're describing, what does Eretz Yisrael feel about us? And they go on to a beautiful description of the sound that they hear Eretz Yisrael saying back to them. Zacharti yamim hayisi mamlechas giveres. I remember the time when I was powerful, when I was robust, when there was a lot of energy coming out of Eretz Yisrael, when everybody wanted only to be there. Biyad Hashem ateres teferes. It was a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, when the Shekhinah was actually here. Gam ata bi lo shum davar nefeseres. There's nothing missing now. I'm still perfect. I'm still Eretz Yisrael. I'm still here. There's nothing missing. Bi haTorah misbareres. In my land, the Torah becomes clarified. The Torah becomes illuminated. Ki mitzion teteter. Bi haYira misgaberes. This is where someone's Yira Shamayim becomes more substantive, becomes more strong. Bi haNeshama mishuchreres. This is where a person's neshama becomes liberated, becomes unrestricted, becomes free to think about things which are so much greater than the things we generally think about. Madu anish chachores. Why am I left unattended, neglected, abandoned by Klal Yisrael, who I love so much? Bezuya mikvodai ushmama miyoshmai. Why is it that I am left, says Eretz Yisrael? Bezuya mikvodai. Nobody respects me any longer. And I'm desolate, I'm empty, there's nobody who cares to visit me. Anishkula v'galmuda, I feel completely forsaken, I feel isolated, as if nobody bothers to spend a minute thinking or caring about me. Halo ani Eretz Chemda? Chemda se'alyonim v'tachtonim? Am I not the Eretz Chemda? Am I not the cherished land? Is that not me, Eretz Yisrael? The Chemda of Elyonim and Tachtonim? Tova b'shnei olamim ha'mezumanim? I'm the greatest thing in both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Madu ani mushpeles b'chol davar shebekdusha. So then why is it that I'm cast away, that I'm cast aside, behind every other dvarim shebekdusha? Lios acharon shebacharonim b'lo rishon shebarishon. Why is it that I am an afterthought? Why am I not at the forefront of every single Jewish person's consciousness? Why am I the last thing to be considered, instead of being at the forefront? The Gemara says, Ksubas daf kuf yud beis, a bunch of stories about Amoraim who used to visit Eretz Yisrael and how they used to act when they got there. The Gemara says, Rab Abba Abba Menashe Kippa Da'ako. The Gemara describes how Rab Abba was so overwhelmed when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he would go and he would kiss the ground. He would kiss the stones when he would enter Eretz Yisrael before going any further. There's an incredible ha'ara made by the Imre Yemes, the Eilu Gedder, he writes that we learn Gemara, we know that every time Rashi says Abshat the Gemara, so there's a deeper Amaskal in the bold letters, and then in the small letters, you have Rashi's Abshat. So over here, we have the Gemara tells us Rabbi Nasha used to kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Why says the Gemara? Shanemar, he brought to Avadecha Savanea, because Klal Yisrael loves the ground, Vesafar Yitonam. Very nice. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, a mucker that tells us you should kiss the ground, a very nice thing to do. Rashi on that Gemara, you'll notice, Kuf Yud Beis Amin Aleph says Rashi, he quotes the Gemara, and he has one line. It doesn't add anything. He just quotes the Gemara, just bold letters, no pshat. He says, Ki Rasu Avadecha Savaneha Vesafari Yechonam, without explaining. And the Imre Yemes pointed out, what's Rashi adding? So, many of us who are familiar with learning Gemara, you'll say, Rashi had some other girsa, whatever it is. So Rashi wants to make sure that we have the girsa clear, so he quotes the pasuk properly. Says the Imre Yemes, no. You want to know what Rashi's adding? Look carefully at the difference between Rashi and what the Gemara actually says. Rashi leaves out one word, and it's a critical word. Rashi leaves out the word, shenem. Rashi's coming to teach us, says the Imre Yemes, we don't kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael because the pasuk tells us to kiss the ground. It's not because Shanem. You kiss the ground because you have such an abounding love Such an overflowing of emotion. Ki ratzu avadecha. It's not because shenemar. The one word Rashi leaves out from that whole Gemara is shenemar, because this has nothing to do with the pasuk. We kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael. We have a relationship with it because we have the most voluminous feelings toward Eretz Yisrael, because we're overflowed with emotion, with love. That's why we kiss the ground. Let's just close. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Akdama. Chafetz Chaim was one of the proponents of trying to get his Talmidim to learn Seder Kachshim. And he describes that Eretz Yisrael is kedimyon hanisuin. Eretz Yisrael is almost like a marriage. Shekasher hakala omedes meluveshes and mebushetes betachshiteh. When you have the kala getting ready, preparing for the wedding, umucheres dekares lechupa ba'omdim umetzapim lechasun sheyavo. The kala is spending the whole day getting her makeup done and her hair done and the dress, and it's taking months to take care of everything and to get all the clothing for the shavuot brachos. And now, where's the chasid? Where is he? I've been preparing all this time, and where is he? Then the chasid realizes, well, gotta get moving. Kala's waiting. Kala's already. All the guests are here. Chasid realizes it's time to wake up. B'chein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's the same thing when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ourselves. Shemachana atzma b'shem chasim le'Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam describes himself as being our beloved, as being our partner. Kimosha chasim, kimisos chasim al-kala, yasis halayach al-kayach. B'niyya anu mukhanim mukushatim. If we as the kala will be clothed, we'll have our makeup on, so to speak. We'll have everything ready. If we'll understand the halachos that we're supposed to be learning about Eretz Yisrael, if we'll understand how much a central role Eretz Yisrael plays in our lives, if we're going to stand there, namod hakein likras malkeni yisbarach bevadai imanar biyasa, there is no question. The chasam doesn't keep the kala waiting. There's no such thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam will not keep us waiting either. If only we understand the importance of what this aspect is supposed to mean to us. And the Kuzari writes, when he's having his discussions with the Melech HaKuzarim, he says, Gam mi shema'or b'lei b'nei adam avo l'makam HaKadosh HaZeh. Somebody who inspires others to think about the sincere love that they're supposed to have to the Makam HaKadosh HaZeh. Ro'oi l'schar b'lo safek. I guarantee you, says the Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi writes, I guarantee you, you will get schar that you cannot imagine. That will once again bring us closer to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember us, Kemasha Nemar, at the Sakam Terachim Sion, Yeris Lachan and Akivam Oed. Zosomera says the Kuzari, and this is the way he ends off the entire Sefer. Yerushalayim lo tikonem. Yerushalayim will not be rebuilt. Ki im kasher yishtokuku alechem bnei Yisrael hachlis hachuk. Until we feel that abounding love, that sincere connection, and that incredible feeling that we're supposed to have toward Eretz Yisrael. Yiratzim shenizke, kimesos chasim alkala, yasis alayach elokayach, m'mher v'yomenu amen.
Finish by saying that all the tragedies that came upon us